This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Remember, folks, you can check us out via podcast if you can't listen to our show at the live position, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, or on the repeat, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on AMI Audio. Subscribe to the Kelly and Company podcast where you can listen to the show in segment form or the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience. We'd appreciate it while you're in there if you would give us a rating and review. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of Kelly and Company.
All right, so more things to talk about that are coming up, and we want to keep tabs because this is more in the realms of art than media. Real Abilities Film Festival Toronto is back for the 7th annual festival in person and online. We're loving the hybrid models, and this is from May 16th to June 10th, so we're right at the start of it. We're talking to festival coordinator Linda LaRossi to find out more about this year's festival. Linda, thank you for coming on Kelly and Company.
Thank you so much for having me.
So looking forward to all the details of the event, and you're officially back in person now. So tell us, first of all, how that feels to be doing that and keeping some of the flexibility of a hybrid event, but also having the in-person.
Yeah, we're really excited to ease into, I would say, in-person. We have only one in-person event this year, which is our closing night, and that'll be sort of an experiment in hybrid programming. And we're really looking forward to the event and to all that we can learn and take with us moving forward, because I think the hybrid model is incredibly valuable for everyone in the disability community, and we're just kind of we're really excited to just dive into this style of content delivery, and are just really interested, really excited again for the opportunity to be able to gather in person and to be able to share the festival films and activities with one another.
I love it. Yeah, I think that when we think of the availability of stuff online, there's always going to be a place for the in-person, the bigger screen, and so many things we can lend to it, that feel and that experience. But as you mentioned, it's really wonderful to be able to have that place where some people who just say, look, I'd love to take part, but I'm not in that big of a city, I'm too far away, or my disability doesn't allow me to be able to get there. So with it being online, I like to see that. And I just named a couple of things that I think are the benefits of having it online. But are there some others for having the hybrid version? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first year the festival has gone this long? I think it's a little longer than it used to be, or maybe I haven't noticed that in the last few years.
You're definitely correct on that front. It's been extended with the intention of giving everyone, both in the community, but also on our end as festival organizers, some breathing room between events. I know, you know, festivals tend to be very condensed periods of time. And I know from my experience as a festival goer that you sometimes, you know, don't have the capacity to get a chance to watch everything that you want or participate. And so our intention was to space things out, with the intention of making this an accessible event in that regard as well, like thinking about people's capacity to participate. But I think you're definitely right that, the real benefit of continuing virtual programming and integrating more hybrid events is that people across the country and across the continent are able to join in. And I think it would be, it would be a shame to not provide that any longer. So for us, it's really exciting to be able to reach people far and wide, and also to give people the flexibility, as a form of access,
Mm-hmm. The options, and it gets bigger and better the more you have of that, right? So this year's event offers the Real Education Matinees. This is coming back. Can you explain what this is for people who are not aware?
Yeah, absolutely. So this week, the festival kicks off with the Real Education May matinees. And these are workshops that pair films and conversations about disability diversity and inclusion. And they are geared towards students and educators from grades K to 12. And this year, we're also introducing an event for young adults with developmental intellectual disabilities that are just over age 18, but are still considered sort of youth. And these are just really exciting events to be able to have these conversations and bring these conversations into classrooms and be able to connect with the community that way too.
What kind of feedback have you been given when you had them last year, the Real Education matinees?
We've received overwhelmingly positive feedback, particularly from educators that are hungry for this kind of content, and the ability to be able to deliver interactive workshops and conversations virtually has been, immensely helpful for educators the last 2 years dealing with the pandemic and finding it quite challenging to provide engagement for their students on virtual platforms. So we're really proud to have been able to help kind of fill that gap and be able to share these wonderful films and conversations and the experiences of some really talented artists and facilitators with lived experience of disability as part of the matinee programs.
Amazing. Really wonderful addition to everything that you're doing already with Real Abilities. And can we talk about the film festival? How many films are there being featured this year?
So we have about 26 films this year, a combination of features and shorts, documentary films and fiction films, and film programs that are, lovingly curated, as I like to say, shorts that hinge on different themes, such as deaf storytelling, animating possibilities, and using sort of the experimental storytelling, filmic storytelling from the disability community and disabled artists, as well as our opening night program, which is the Love is Access and Access is Love film shorts program, which is exploring the theme of care and the way we show care to ourselves and to one another within the disability community and beyond.
Oh, these are great. Really nice lineup, too. When you talk about people sitting at home or attending in person, of course, most of us with disabilities, well, I wonder if I'll be able to follow along or take this in and with the different mediums that are there. So what accessibility features are included for both in person or online?
So our all the festival films will feature captioning and audio description. And all of our in-person or live virtual events will feature ASL interpretation as well as live captioning. And we're just, again, always excited to experiment with ways to expand what access means and be able to communicate across many different unique styles of communications. But these are the general features that we offer as part of the festival events.
Well, this is really cool. Anything else you want to say on the kinds of films, the particular type of people who've submitted, or just the representation of everything out there at this year's festival?
Absolutely. I we're really excited about the roster of films this year, and they are representative of voices from across the disability community, in particular those that are multiply marginalized. And I think one thing that's, we really try to do in addition to platforming these really wonderful films is inviting filmmakers to attend panels and Q&As and be able to engage with audiences and participate in the way that their films are framed and in the conversations that those films spark. And I think there's something really valuable to be able to have an intimate conversation with filmmakers, with performers, and to understand their process and to be able to just celebrate the really beautiful work that they've done.
So, Linda, with that being said, you bring a question to mind, and more just asking you to kind of, what do you think? Do we feel that that's the way it's going to unfold in future, to have the panels, have people, because obviously with the pandemic, we haven't been able to have panels live and in person, which a lot of people love when they go to any kind of film festival, a theater festival, when you get a chance to sit in the same room with the creators and hear their thoughts and opinions and ask questions. Do you think what we will take away from the virtual side in the next 2, 3, 4 years when we are more in person, because of the cost of bringing people in, maybe doing that portion virtually, people in a theater, people online?
I think that's a really beautiful point, and I'm completely in agreement with that. I think sometimes it's also just geography that makes it difficult, and yet there's still obviously a desire from the community to meet all of these filmmakers. So I think that's a component that we're very excited to continue to expand
and experiment for the filmmakers with. To travel to the different places and speak to the many different types of people.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think there's so much richness and possibility with hybrid that we're just we're really looking forward to what unfolds for this year's festival and to really learning and expanding for future years, and hopefully also, you know, serving as a model to other festivals. We recognize that as things are going in person, a lot of festival spaces are abandoning virtual programming, which, you know, we think is unfortunate. I think it's valuable for the many reasons that we discussed to continue to integrate virtual events. And, you know, we're really committed to making that happen and continuing that along the way.
Yeah. I mean, with so many of these, not just film festivals, but all kinds of art festivals, I'm seeing this trending upwards, right? Having this as an access point to have more virtual. And then even with the in-person, you know, I'll use Luminato as an example because I'm part of the process for it, to create accessibility around the in-person things as well. So even if you're not there experiencing what other people are when they're walking around or able to come to the actual venues, there's still some kind of access that allows you to get the experience from home. So it really is integrating, not just offering all these different things, some virtual, some in person, but integrating everything together as a package deal. And it really does, like we've been saying this whole conversation, just create more opportunities, more expansion, and the programming gets like tighter and tighter for people.
Exactly. The idea is that, you know, for people that are tuning in virtually, you don't want to offer an experience that feels like an afterthought, but to really think about how virtual audiences can continue to be engaging and feel like they are part of the event, because they are. And that is important to recognize. And so our job as festival organizers is just to think through what that means and how to make it happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that this isn't just for festivals that already have a focal point on accessibility and inclusion. I hope that many and more festivals really just bring this and keep it as top of mind to have inclusivity as part of the conversation from the get-go. So tell us once again where we can go for more information, to check out the festival, to tune in online before we let you go.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you again for the invitation and for this conversation. Our festival schedule is available on our website, which is rafto.ca. That's rafto.ca. And we're also available on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And our handle is Real Abilities TO. That's R-E-E-L, Abilities, A-B-I-L-I-T-I-E-S, T-O. And we really look forward to sharing the festival program with everyone this year.
Good luck.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great, and all the best. We were speaking about the Real Abilities Toronto Film Festival and with the festival coordinator Linda LaRossi, and that is on today till the beginning of June.
Boy, has it grown. So wonderful. And we'll step aside for just a couple of moments, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, it's time for Know Your Rights with Danielle McLaughlin here on Kelly and Company.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. Join me every day for Double Tap. It's a show where we occasionally talk about technology for blind and partially sighted people. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.